What are the top strategies to survive a great vacation without looking like that blown up beach ball? Has the marketing department of Mini Wheats finally gone too far? And oh my God, it looks like fat can grow back after liposuction. All this and more on episode 38 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to show number 38. What's going on this week, Jeff?
Well, I'm, again, just enjoying the summer. Actually, today right now is the hottest day of the entire year. We're at 33 degrees Celsius, which is about 92 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm just loving this warm weather. And actually, after the show, we're recording this at night, I'm going out to sleep in a tent in the backyard where it's a little cooler. So what's it like down in Long Beach, Russ?
I'm going to say it's around 85 to 89. It's kind of that during the day. Funny enough, today, you know, the office is about 72 air conditioning. At lunchtime, instead of just sitting in the office or going to a restaurant, I went and got my lunch and went out in my car in a nice warm car, just kind of the windows open, kind of just a really nice warm lunch in my car. I usually freeze all day, even during the summer. I wear long sleeves and pants all year long.
Wow.
Just so I'm nice and warm when we're when I'm in the office. Otherwise, would freeze. But what else has been going on besides the weather?
Well, actually, I just came back from a quick trip to Vancouver, BC, you know, where they're going to have the 2012 Winter Olympics. And I went up to Whistler, where they're doing all the skiing and the bobsled courses, and I went on a zipline course. So for people who haven't seen a zipline course, it's where you have these long cables, and you start up a little bit higher, and you put on like a climbing harness, and you hook up to the cable, and you zip all the way down the cable. I did, as I said, five different zip lines, and you get up to about 50 miles an hour, 80 kilometers an hour. It's quite a thrill, and the weird thing about it, the heavier you weigh, the faster you go. And you actually have to weigh more than 65 pounds, or on most of the zip lines itself, you can't make it to the other end. Because if there's a bit of a dip in the line, you have to go uphill a little bit to finish it off. So, Russ, have you ever tried a zip line before?
No, I never have. I always had, ever since I did my first course in physics in college, in the the force equals mass, which I have a lot of, times acceleration. I also watched George the Jungle when I was a kid. The two, knowing the physics of it and then watching George the Jungle, I would always picture myself like splatting up against a tree with my arms out with an imprint of my body in the trunk of this tree. So, I've never done it.
Do you have anything else planned for the rest of the summer?
Not too much going on the rest of the summer. Funny enough, you mentioned you're going out into a tent in the backyard. I am taking all the kids and the wife camping. We're doing a Cub Scout camp out in the local mountains this weekend. And so we're going to load up everybody in the giant 12-person tent for the six of us. And we're going to have a lovely weekend camping.
Well, that sounds awesome. Well, let's move into our email and comments.
All right, the first one is an email from Ben, and he wrote, "Hi, great podcast. I've been going back through your episodes prior to my discovering you. In a previous podcast, you mentioned that a recent paper stated that the human body is born with a given number of fat cells that doesn't change. They only get bigger or smaller. Logically, liposuction will reduce the quantity. What does your body do when that happens? Does your body recreate the predetermined number it needs? Is your body in an unbalanced cellular state? Does your body shift fat cells from other places to balance?"
Well, there's a lot of questions in there, and this brings up a lot of things that deal with the nature of science itself. We've always heard that you can never grow more fat cells, and there's lots of studies that support this, and I'm thinking the plastic surgeons are having some poor results, so they're doing studies that might be showing that you can grow cells back. I think there's a bit of self-interest in there. But to kind of sum up how science works, it's a consensus of scientific opinion. In this show, we talk a lot about here's a study that says this, and a couple weeks later we'll say here's another study that says the total opposite thing. When there's enough studies, there's 480 studies versus 16 studies, people go with the more positive studies. And the thing about fat cells, the plastic surgeons say that it's possible to grow new fat cells when your existing ones become completely full. But to further answer all of these questions, we looked online and went to some sites that are talking about the realistic expectations that you can expect to get from liposuction. So we're just going to do some frequently asked questions and read you the answers, and that should pretty much answer everything here.
Right. First one here, getting a little background on liposuction, is how much fat can be removed? How many pounds? And the answer is the maximum amount of fat that can be removed safely is probably about 6 to 8 pounds. The greater the volume of fat removed on a single day, the greater the risk of serious complications. If a patient requires removal of more than 6 to 8 pounds of fat, it is safest to divide the liposuction into separate surgical procedures, each separated by 3 to 4 weeks.
Now, according to plastic surgeons, will the fat cells grow back after liposuction? Liposuction removes fat cells permanently. The fat cells that are removed by liposuction can never come back. However, if the patient gains a significant amount of weight, then new fat cells can develop. With a small weight gain, existing fat cells simply get bigger by accumulating more fat within the existing cell. However, with an increase of more than 10% of body weight, and when you think 10% body weight really isn't that much, 150-pound person, that's only a 15-pound weight gain, one can expect new fat cell development in all areas of the body, including areas previously treated by liposuction. As an adult gains larger amounts of weight, increasing number of fat cells are formed from existing connective tissue cells by a process of differentiation. Existing connective tissue cells first change into immature fat cells and then develop into mature fat cells with progressive obesity.
All right, and one other question you might have is, if I gain weight, does the fat come back in the treated areas, the areas where you had the liposuction? And these plastic surgeons say fat usually does not come back in treated areas, provided the patient does not gain a significant amount of weight after the surgery. If the patient gains a significant amount of weight, then fat can return to an area previously treated by liposuction. With increasing weight, the degree of fat accumulation in a previously treated area is proportionally less than an untreated area. After liposuction, relatively less fat accumulates in treated areas compared to untreated areas.
And one last question and answer here. Where does the fat go when a person gains weight after liposuction? If a patient gains a significant amount of weight, say more than 10 pounds, after liposuction, then the fat must go somewhere on the body. In fact, the fat accumulates in all areas of the body in proportion to the amount of fat cells in each area. Areas where fat cells have been removed by liposuction will accumulate relatively little fat, while in areas not treated by liposuction, relatively more fat will be deposited. For example, if a woman gains weight after liposuction of her hips, outer thighs, and abdomen, then proportionally more fat will be deposited elsewhere, such as the woman's breast, face, back, and legs. So after liposuction, the fat still comes on your body, but it just goes in all the other areas where you have more fat cells remaining. But if you gain more than 10% of your body weight, some of those fat cells will grow back to where you had the liposuction.
So a couple of things I take away from this. Number one, your body will make new fat cells. If you're hell-bent on being fat again and you overeat and you gain more than 10% of your body weight, your body says, hey, it wants to make new fat cells. And number two, I think that's kind of strange. It's why I would never kind of think about liposuction, because say you lose weight and you're like, okay, I really want to get rid of that little bit of fat around my stomach that hasn't been coming off as quickly as I'd like. Well, if I do end up, say, gaining a little weight again, all of a sudden you have this weird kind of less fat in that one area. Meanwhile, the other parts kind of will balloon around it seems like. So
kind of like a dimple.
Yeah, like a dimple, like you're... it'd be just kind of strange looking after, if you actually did gain weight afterward.
I think the thing that I got out of by researching this was that they consider liposuction is for shaping the body. It's not really there for losing weight or a significant amount of fat. They're talking about the people who might have the pear shape and they've dieted and they're still not happy with their posterior, so they get a little bit of shaping taken off, but they're not getting the liposuction to get rid of the weight in the first place. They're just doing kind of the finishing touches. All right, well, let's move on to our second email. And this email comes from Jen.
Yep, and she wrote here, this is unrelated to this specific show, but I thought you both and listeners might be interested in these PBS shows. If you go to this link, and we'll include this in the show notes, it's at pbs.org, you can watch the full episodes online. The two interesting ones are Fat, What No One Is Telling You, and Heart Disease, The Hidden Epidemic. They're both really informative and have a lot of useful information. I'm not so sure how I feel about the fat episode, but I thought you guys would find these episodes very interesting as they both discuss current research and public health issues.
That's right. They're very PBS-y, if you kind of get my drift. So what we're going to do is play a short little clip so you get some sort of idea about what this fat show is about.
I don't think we're at all appreciative of how complicated body weight regulation is, how hard the problem is to solve, how much the body works to prevent starvation, and how subtle the dysregulation, the imbalances are that can lead to a very, very massive increase in body weight.
The hunger that brings Rocky to the refrigerator is a force that goes back to the beginning of time. For all of history, every living creature has been driven by two things, the urge to reproduce and the urge to find food and eat it. This is how we've survived and prospered as a species. Rocky's subconscious brain is wired to make him eat and store fat as a precaution against starvation. His brain somehow remembers distant famine and is willfully determined to protect him from starving. Efforts of his conscious brain to control his eating are quickly humbled and made futile by the more powerful primal brain. Somehow the primal brain hasn't learned or accepted that we live in a society where food is no longer scarce, but plentiful beyond description.
Having McDonald's and the new Dunkin' Donuts that just opened next to my house, it's not only open, it's 24 hours. So if I'm there at 4 o'clock in the morning and I want an extra large cappuccino blast, like that, and so it's like a Dunkin' Donuts here, a McDonald's here, a fast food restaurant here, Chinese delivery guy, they deliver, they're down the block, they deliver to me all the time.
We have a very, very rich and accurate physiological system that keeps our energy in balance. And all that system has to do is get disrupted by a tiny percent. Just a 1% mismatch in that system can lead to 130, 140 pound weight gain over your adult life.
All right, so as I said, it was very PBS-y, but you know, there were some reservations that I have about the show, that's true. But overall, I think it is a good thing to take a look at. For one, it's free and you can watch it online. And the second thing, you can just choose which portions of the episode that you want to watch. So if you want to watch someone talking about gastric bypass or any other personal stories, you can just click on a link and jump to that section of the documentary. Now, my feeling on pretty much any show that has to do with weight loss and is talking about the science behind it, when you're losing weight, and this is not just a short 1 or 2 week thing, but you're doing this for month after month, and for a lot of people, it gets really kind of hard to keep going and keep going. If you're watching things about weight loss and listening to shows like this, it keeps you focused and keeps you a little bit more motivated. So there's a lot of stories about different people in this show, and that might be a little motivational for you. And my final thing about pretty much anything on fat loss, weight loss, if you listen to something or you watch something and you pretty much know everything about it, because I still watch and a lot of things like this, if I get one piece of information that I can use in my personal life, then I think it was worth it. Because, you know, everything adds up in your weight loss toolbox. Every little thing that you can learn does help. So that's everything about the PBS show. I would suggest you check it out.
Excellent. Well, I thank Ben and Jen for their emails and comments. And there are a couple of different ways that you can get a hold of us or give us some feedback. And the first one is to leave a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
That third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button on the website at fattofitradio.com.
And the last way, you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, excellent. And now we're going to get into some articles on the Web Report.
My news item this week has to do with Kellogg's Mini-Wheats. And it's not really a news item per se. I just noticed a lot of different blogs talking about Kellogg's Mini-Wheats. And they're all up in arms about the marketing practices with Kellogg's Mini-Wheats. This is nothing new. A lot of cereals, they hear about a study and they go all crazy about the study and they put it on the cereal box and try and market just based on one study. And then when other studies come out that show that it might not be quite true, then they just kind of quietly change their marketing. So for example, you might remember all the cereals that were talking about oat bran and it just might prevent a heart attack. Well, that only lasted for a year or two because other studies came out that really showed that wasn't very scientifically true. But when we're talking about mini wheats, they had nothing new to talk about. So what it says on their cereal boxes right now, it says it improves kids' attentiveness by nearly 20%. And then when you look into this a little more deeply, at the bottom of the box on the back, it says, based upon independent clinical research, kids who ate Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats cereal for breakfast had up to 18% better attentiveness 3 hours after breakfast than kids who ate no breakfast. Now, this really isn't a study comparing any cereal to any other cereal. This would probably happen with any cereal. If you miss breakfast, we all know, especially in children, they're not going to be attentive 3 hours later if they skip breakfast. So this really is not a fair study at all. And when it says that children had up to 18% better attentiveness, the word up to is kind of like a weasel word. That's when they don't want to really say something for real. They want to say up to 18%. So that means one person in this entire study improved by 18%. It didn't say the average, it didn't say the mean, you know, any statistical significance. They're just saying one kid possibly had up to 18% better attentiveness. And so just to sum up, when a cereal box is telling you about a study that really is a stupid study, in my opinion, that compares people eating their cereal to kids who eat absolutely nothing, it really has no basis. And especially the up to 18%, that's only one person possibly up to 18% better. So I guess just be a little more skeptical when you're looking at some of the claims and some of the marketing on food products. So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
I have been enjoying the Olympic Games, particularly the swimming. You know, I used to swim quite a bit. I was a junior lifeguard. That was the hot thing in junior high school. So I've really been enjoying the swimming and watching Michael Phelps rack up, what is it now, 8 gold medals at this point, I think it is, that he's won. But the one person that has intrigued me is a 42-year-old woman named Dara Torres. And she has received now 2 silver medals in 1 individual event and in 1 relay event. And I just was amazed. She is twice as old as most of the competitors in the pool during this Olympics, and she's just doing extremely well. And so I just really want to, you know, let everybody know that, you know, just because you are 42 years old does not mean that, you know, you're past your prime. If you just work at it and get your body in shape, you can still, you know, do amazing things. And there's a link here in the show notes to bestlifeonline.com, and it shows the workout that Dara Tor does on a daily basis, including 2,000 meters in the pool and then 40 minutes of working out, you know, just building muscle. And I always noticed, you know, swimmers tend to have a little bit of extra body fat, and it's, they don't get that, you know, extra lean look, but she does. She has the six pack abs. She has the muscle definition. And again, at twice the age as the other competitors. So just amazing. And so check out her workout, and just, she's a real inspiration.
Yeah, it's a really good article. And one thing that I noticed about this, just because you might be a little older, that doesn't mean that you can't build muscle later in life. When you look at the NBA, the new basketball players kind of get pushed around because all of the older players continue to lift weights and they have more mass and size. So it's not always the younger people are better in every sport. And if you're just trying to look better and get a better fitness shape and a better look, by all means, you know, age doesn't have that much to do with it.
All right, now we got the web report out of the way. We're going to talk about our feature section here this week, which is surviving a cruise or an all-inclusive resort.
Now, I think I might be the worst person in the world to have had poor success at this. I remember in our very first show, I admitted that in a 14-day vacation, I gained 22 pounds. This was probably about 10 years ago. So it's very easy to put on weight. And I know a lot of people are struggling just to maintain their weight and not gain weight when they go away on a cruise or an all-inclusive resort. So what we're going to do is give you our best tips of how to be successful at it.
Yeah, you know, I forgot about that whole 22 pounds in 14 days. That's awesome. You know, I don't feel bad about my pound and a half, 2 pounds in 4 days.
Well, you know, this summer when I went away for, I was gone for about 16 days, I was up about 6 pounds, but after about 2 days, I was down to about 4 pounds. So I was doing a lot of these things myself to not gain weight, because I gain weight really easily. Of course, I didn't not enjoy myself, but I mean, gaining 4 pounds total in 2 weeks as opposed to 22, I had a great improvement over, you know, 10 years ago when I went away and just went crazy and splurged and ate and drank all day and all night. Now, what we've done is we've kind of broken down our tips into little sections. So the first section is how to keep up your fitness.
Right. So the first one on our list here is take advantage of the onboard gym. This is particularly on a cruise ship. There is a incredible gym with some of the latest equipment. I know that the cruise I was just on, they had really nice elliptical machines, great, great treadmills, and then a full weight machines and, you know, Nautilus equipment style equipment, and really some of the nicest stuff I've seen.
That's right. And you're looking for a place to go if you're not going on a cruise ship. I was actually looking on the internet to see what sort of a gym these resorts had, and most of them had fairly decent gyms. And another thing, especially if you're on a cruise ship, you can sign up for lots of classes like dance classes, fitness classes. I mean, they're offered on the ship, they're offered at all-inclusive places. Some of them cost extra, but there's plenty of them out there. I mean, one thing I did, I went on a bike tour the first morning that I was there so we could ride around and see where all the sites were. And then when we came back, we got back about 9 in the morning. Then yoga was starting up and stretching. There's always stuff going on if you look for it.
So our third one here, a ship is a big place. It's immense. It is so large. You have the Lido deck. You get the promenade deck. Things are on the bow. Things are on the stern. And whenever your bunk, your cabin is down on deck 5, but, you know, your activities are on deck 10, to take that opportunity, instead of taking the elevator every time you need to go to one place or another, take the stairs. You know, it's an easy way to burn a few calories when you're on that ship.
And the next one, when you're going on excursion or day trips, instead of picking the ones that just send you on a tour bus, try and find the ones that are more active, you know, such as kayaking or ATV or horseback riding, or ones that just might have a walking tour of part of the tour.
Right. So now we're going to get into some of the things to help you while you're eating on a cruise or an all-inclusive vacation. And the first tip here is, while it's possible, and they will encourage you to order more than one thing on the menu when you're on that at dinner on the ship, just go ahead and pick that one item on the menu that you wouldn't have at home, that lobster, instead of having the steak or the chicken dish, which you might be making at home. But, you know, I don't cook lobsters at home. So when I'm on that cruise, I'm going to have a nice lobster and the accompanying items with it.
And the next tip here, eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the dining room if possible. Try to avoid the buffet where it's so easy to get that second or third helping. I knew a person who told me one day, buffets make you fat. He just believed that. Didn't matter how many times went back, it was just the buffets that made you fat. And if there's so much good food, it is so hard not to keep going back.
Yep. And next tip here is load up on fruits and vegetables. And even if you go to the buffet, there is always that aisle where they have your salads and they have the cut up fruit and they have some wonderful fruit. I mean, anything you can imagine, mangoes and papayas and, I mean, just some wonderful fruit. That, again, I'm not going to prepare at home because they take too much time and effort. But they're on the ship, they prepare these things in mass and they're always available. And head to that section first before you go to the other areas.
That's one of the strategies that I used. There were lots of fruits down in Mexico that we just don't really get up here, like mangoes and papaya. And what I tried to do for breakfast and lunch, because we had buffets for those two meals, half of my plate I would stack up with all of these cut up fruit. And that kind of limited the amount of food that I could fit on the rest of the plate.
All right, next one is, before you just start in the first place you find on that buffet or in that food area, circle around and see what is the best thing to eat. What's the most healthy thing? What's not going to be just loaded with fat and calories? And just make that circle around the buffet one time if you're going to go to the buffet and say, okay, what am I going to get? And don't just start loading up and just thinking, oh, I want some of that. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't see that. And then you go for another whole half plate full and you start stacking two layers deep. And, you know, I saw a lot of people doing that. They have the one layer of food and then they realized, oh, I didn't see that that chicken piccata. And so they just layer it on top of the beef that they have also. So just make a quick lap around and check out everything before you make a decision.
And of course, don't be afraid to customize your food at a cooking station. So a lot of buffets, they will have places where they'll make omelets or other fajitas or something like that. And you can ask them to do certain things in certain ways. Now, it doesn't always work. I remember asking for an egg white omelet. So what they did is they put a huge ladle full of oil onto the grill and then put some egg whites in there. And I'm thinking, man, there's so many calories in that oil. I don't know if it was worth it. But hey, you know, an egg has about 100 calories. An egg white is maybe 10 calories. So at least I saved some sort of calories over what I would have had with regular eggs, you know, fried in all that oil.
So our next tip is, again, for that buffet, if you're going to eat in that buffet area, decide beforehand that you're only going to have one plate. And don't make it a giant plate and like a two layers deep. Just one plate of food, a reasonable amount, and then get on to your next activity. Go on to that, to up to the gym, go to on that tour, go to that dance class, but just do one plate and get up.
I think another thing about your attitude, you have not failed the buffet if you didn't try something of everything in the entire buffet. I know a lot of people think, I have to get my money's worth at a buffet, but you just think your fat cells don't have to get their money's worth at a buffet.
Robbie, one last tip here on eating is actually about drinking alcoholic and non-alcoholic drinks. They can have a lot of calories in them. It's very easy to drink these nice slushy drinks like a margarita or a daiquiri. And those are just full of syrup and flavoring, things that add literally thousands of calories if you have a couple drinks. And that's going to add pounds and fat at the end of this vacation. So again, just make a better choice. Even a can of soda or a beer, you know, you're going to add 150, 200 calories. So go for that water and the iced tea. And plus, you're going to save a lot of money because they charge for every single drink on a cruise.
And so now just some final points here. And a lot of these final points, they almost have to do with the Christmas season. We talked about a lot of similar things during Christmas. And the first thing here, don't try to be perfect all the time. You know, allow yourself a few free meals so that you don't feel deprived, but plan out how many you're going to have beforehand.
The second point is, you're a captive audience. You don't have or may not have a choice of foods, but you can always, always limit the amount of food that you're going to eat. Even if you're given a giant plate of food in that dining room, you do not have to finish the whole thing. It's up to you. Eat half of it, eat three quarters, but you don't have to finish the whole thing. And particularly, you can look at a plate and say, that is a lot of food. There is no reason for me to eat all that. And leave some.
Now, the last two points, these might be the most powerful points that might keep you on track. So figure out which strategies that you use at home and figure out which ones you could modify on your vacation. So for example, if you're used to having healthy snacks with you at all times and when you get hungry, plan ahead, take some pieces of fruit from the buffet for later in the day, for example.
And one last point. We've often said, you know, a great way to figure out how many calories you're eating is to keep a food journal. If you have been doing that food journal, bring it along with you. It might be the best way to keep yourself from becoming totally unaware of what you're eating throughout the day. If you're always writing down what you're eating, then you're probably not going to overeat because you're going to write it down and it's there, you know, in black and white going, wow, I ate a whole bunch of calories this time.
Another thing when you're away, like I said, just when you're getting an omelet made and they're just using regular oil on the grill, you know, maybe add an extra 10 or 15% to what you're guesstimating the calories are. Everything on vacation seems to have a lot more calories than what you would normally think back at home. All right, hopefully everyone can get a couple points out of there that should hopefully save you a few pounds on vacation. But let's move on to our recipe of the week.
So again, keeping on with the whole cruise and all-inclusive theme here, when we were on the cruise, my wife found this mango salsa, and she literally got a giant bowl of it with some chips and went to town on this. And that was her lunch one day. She just loved it so much. So when we got back, she created one. And I'm going to say it was better than the one we had on the ship because it was, I didn't have, you know, a couple bites of the one on the ship because okay, but hers was dynamite. And so this is like the first, really, I don't know if this is the first or not, but this is a completely original recipe here from Fat to Fit Radio and particularly from my wife, Lori. So it's a mango salsa and it's one mango, a half a cucumber, a couple of Roma tomatoes, a quarter of a large red onion, and the juice of one lime. And then salt to taste. You let that sit for 1 hour, let it all those flavors combine, and put that just either with a couple of chips or put it on a nice piece of salmon or other kind of fish. Oh man, it is great. So check out the mango salsa recipe. There'll be a nice PDF you can download and print out for your own.
Well, that sounds good.
All right, Jeff. So what kind of homework do we have this week?
Well, this week, I challenge listeners to do something a few times a week that over 95% of the population never does. Now, this will enhance your athletic performance. It's going to make you stronger, increase your endurance, and drastically improve your range of motion. The homework is simply to stretch. Nothing fancy. You can even do it while watching TV. And don't worry about doing the perfect stretches. Every little bit helps, and this is something that 100% of people will be able to do and notice a difference within a few weeks.
All right, good. So what's our quote for this week?
Well, the quote really goes well with our topic this week, and it's from Jim Rohn. A week of neglect could cost you a year of repair.
Oh, man, so true, so true. So I got a lot of good information. Thank you very much, Jeff. That was great stuff. All the show notes, including the recipe and the links you heard in the web report, are going to be on the website at fattofitradio.com. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.